Well, I want to recap what we talked about last week, and Lord willing, I think we're kind of finishing up that. It wasn't really a series that I was doing, but we've been talking about righteousness. We've been talking about growing in our understanding of our righteousness, and how that I shared how that is a key, I believe, in operating proficiently in your authority as a believer. How many of y'all know you have authority as a believer in Jesus Christ? How many are convinced that you have authority in this earth as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? Amen. We do. We have authority as believers. And I believe walking and operating in that authority, part of the key to doing that is understanding our righteousness in Christ Jesus, our right standing with God. Why are we allowed to stand with God? Why when Jesus, on the day that he was crucified, and when he said it was finished, and the breath left him, why was that veil, why was that veil that was over the Holy of Holies rent in two? Because before that time, only the high priest could enter in. But it signified that veil being torn in two signified now we have access. All who call on the name of Jesus have access, free access unto God. And we have right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus, because his shed blood and what he did at Calvary. And that's what we've been talking about. And I'll just, we shared this verse several times. Just to remind you, Romans chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17, Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel or the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation, for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes, with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith." And so we were talking about how faith and righteousness work together. How do we receive righteousness? How do we receive? Well, God ascribes it. We just read, he ascribes that righteousness to us by sending his son, Jesus, to die for us. But how do we grow? How do we grow in our understanding of that righteousness? And that's what we've been talking about. And I believe it was answered right there in verse 17, by living by faith. Faith and righteousness are inseparable. I believe you have to have faith to grow in your understanding of your righteousness. Hence the phrase we just read. It says springing from faith and leading to faith. Our initial faith gets us born again, right? You have faith that Jesus died for you. You have faith that Jesus is your Savior. You have faith that and you make him Lord of your life. That takes faith to do that, right? Well, then it says that way of faith arouses to more faith. Faith which is our growing in the understanding of that righteousness, of who we are in Christ and our authority in this earth. And really, that's our mission here at Christian Growth Center. You know, our mission statement is "so grow and go." We made it simple and plain, just like Habakkuk tells us to. So grow and go, sowing faith for salvation, growing in our understanding of righteousness from faith to faith, like we just read. So we can go into all the world with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That good news that accompanies it. So grow and go. And this is the same mission, the same message that Pastor Rob and Tricia came here with in 1982. And I'll just share a little brief background. There are new faces in here that may not know Pastor Rob and Tricia, but they came called of God to Christiansburg, Virginia, to plant a church with a small group of believers that were gathering together and were praying and believing for a shepherd. And Pastor Rob and Tricia came in 1982, and the Lord laid it on their heart, a mission for this place, for the New River Valley. In fact, this is the part of the original mission that they wrote down. It says, the mission of Christian Growth Center is to teach Christians who they are in Christ Jesus and how to live a victorious life in their covenant rights and privileges. We are called to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and then to a place where they are, as born-again believers, operate proficiently in the biblical principles of faith, love, healing, prosperity, redemption, and righteousness, and where they can share these principles with others to assist believers in becoming rooted, grounded, and established in the Word of God by teaching them to give God's Word first place in their lives. To build an army of mature believers, bringing them from milk to meat and from religion to relationship. We are called to train them to become skillful in the word of righteousness and to stand firm in their God-given authority to provide an atmosphere for the presence of God. That was their original mission of the founding pastors. And that has not changed. We may have reworded it. We may have repackaged it to make it a little bit more palatable, to make it shorter so that you can remember it and digest it. Amen. But that mission has not changed. In fact, and I've shared this not too long ago. I was talking to Tricia not too long ago because I meet with these pastors and we were talking about this. And when they came, they sensed, and some of y'all will remember this, three ruling spirits that they identified over the New River Valley. Spirit of religion, spirit of lethargy, and a spirit of poverty over this area. And many of y'all, some of y'all were here when they took a stand against that. Y'all as a church took, and I wasn't privileged to that at that time. In fact, I wasn't even born again yet at that point. Y'all were taking dominion right here in the New River Valley, and I wasn't even in the body to join with you at that point. But they were taking authority over those ruling spirits, and so I was talking to Tricia about this, and I just, no fault of us here, but the body of Christ, I think, has allowed some of that to infiltrate back into the New River Valley. That spirit of poverty. We don't want to be blessed, not for the sake of being rich, but for the sake of being a blessing. Amen? I mean, He gives us the power to gain wealth so that we can establish His covenant in this earth. And we're moving, we're moving from that religion to relate. We want to move from religion to relationship. You know, religion being those outward works, those outward things that we do, that self-righteousness that we talked about last week. Moving from that to relationship, having a personal. Jesus died so that you can have a personal relationship with the Godhead, with the Trinity. He wants you to have that personal relationship. And then in lethargy, you know, it's been over a year or so now that maybe even two, that word came forth that CGC, we're to move from that place of complacency back to compassion. Back to compassion. Compassion just being love. Love. The same compassion and love that moved God to create mankind and to save mankind. That same love and compassion that He expressed, we are to express. Not only one for another, that should be a given. You know, the church today, I think we need to work on that. But that should be a given in the church, in the local body. It shouldn't even be a factor that we love one another. But we do need to focus. We do need to bring that up because it's sometimes not happening, even in the church. But that's to be a given. We're to love the unchurched. And then if you can take it a step further, we're even to love our enemies. Those that do us wrong, do us harm. We're to love them. With the love of God. See, we in our natural mind, it's hard for us to wrap our mind around that. But we need to. It's what we're to give out. And we're to be unified in that love. Really, that's what love is. It's unity. It's unity in the bond of peace. Unity with the Father. Unity with His Son. And unity with His Holy Spirit. Turn to John chapter 17. I thought it was important when I was prompted to do that song again to just open up the front to have people come forward. And, you know, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but sometimes we got to clear stuff out of the way in order to receive. Anybody ever owned a storage container or a storage, mini storage? Anybody had a closet in their house that's so full of stuff that you just couldn't cram one more thing, and if you opened a door, it all fall out on you? Yeah? And then how many have more things that they need to put away and store somewhere? Well, sometimes you got to clear out some stuff to make room for new stuff. As I told you, it's a bad analogy, but at least you get a picture in your mind, okay? And that's, I believe, what the Spirit of the Lord was prompting us to do this morning, was to just clear out some clutter in our heart, if I can say it that way. Clear it, whether it's unforgiveness, guilt, condemnation, pride. You know, you put whatever words you come up with. I believe that the Holy Spirit wanted to clear that out so that He could make a deposit in you today. And I believe that deposit is His love. So I just, even if you didn't take opportunity to do that, to come forward and release some things. You can do it right now, right where you are. Just say, Father, I release that. I release that into Your hands. And reveal to me through Your Holy Spirit. Reveal to me Your love for me. And as You reveal Your love for me, help me to reflect that love back out. And He will. He will do that for you. Have y'all found John 17 yet? Let's look at verse 20. And I encourage you to, I know I give you a lot of different reading assignments. I hope you all take them seriously and do them on your own time. And you know, I don't think that shouldn't be a stretch. I mean, we're supposed to be reading this word anyways. Amen. Amen. And listen, Marilyn said, you know, we were talking about being in one accord, and y'all know how on the day of Pentecost they were gathered together. In one place of one accord. And as the Holy Spirit reveals things and we disseminate that information, how do you think we get on one accord? If the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to be focusing and reading in Romans, How do you think we as a body, I'm talking about us, physical beings, local body, gets into that one accord? By doing what the Holy Spirit is saying to do. Amen? So I listen, when I say, you know, read in Romans, when I'm saying right now, I think you ought to take the time and read through John. It's not because I'm not some taskmaster teacher up here giving you assignments. I believe it's the assignment of the Holy Spirit, and He wants us to be in the same location in His Word for that moment, for such a time as this, so that we can be of one accord. Amen? So, with that said, get in the book of John. Start reading in the book of John. And this is not to take away from anything else you're working on, studying on. This is just, as a local body, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, let's look at this book. And let's get our hearts wrapped around this book so that we can be of one accord. Unified. Amen? All right, have you found verse 20 yet? This is Amplified. It says, neither for these alone do I pray. It is, and this is Jesus praying about the apostles there. He says, neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching. That means us. This is for us. Amen. We are all those others that are clinging to what the apostles are teaching, what Paul is teaching in his letters and what they've written down. Verse 21, that they all may be one, that we all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. He's repeating this. He is bringing attention. He is drawing attention to this oneness. I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united. Perfectly united. Why? Why do we need to be perfectly united? Why do we need to understand this oneness coming from Jesus? He's talking about Him being one in the Father and the Father being one in Him and us being one in them. Why? That the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. That the world may know. Our unity shows the world proof positive that God sent Jesus. And when they see that, that's like a confirmation on that they can trust in that. That they can, you know what I'm saying? Verse 24 says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have entrusted to me, as your gift to me, may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, your love gift to me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. I think that's interesting that what verse 23 just said. Throw 23 up there again. That the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me. This is Jesus. And that you have loved them even as you have loved me. He loved the world so much that He sent His Son. And how is the world going to know that? How is the world going to know that God loved the world, them, unbelievers, so much that he sent Jesus that they can trust in, rely on Jesus. Well, they're going to see us, the church, the believers, unified in that love. Amen? Do we got some ways to go? We do. But when they do, they will know. They will know that we, the church, are loved by the Father just as He loved the Son before the very foundation of the earth. I want to ask you a question, and this question is intended to get you thinking in an eternal mindset, if you will. But what do you think God was doing before creation? What was God doing before creation? We tend to think his creation is the start of everything, right? I mean, he created man, the world, the stars, and the heavens, and all the animals, and the beasts, and the water, and the land, and there'll be an eternity after. But what was he doing before that point? Planning. Well, oh, thank you, Cheryl. Verse 24 tells us what he was doing. He was loving Jesus, fellowshipping with the Son. He was loving Jesus. He was loving Jesus before he created the earth and mankind. He was loving the Son. And I believe it's that love, that overflowing. He had so much love that love overflowed out of him, and he wanted to share that. And that's why he created us. That love outflowing from his love that he was loving Jesus with before the foundation of the world, it says. He wanted to share that love. And he created mankind to do that. He created us. Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 and 5 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of earthborn man that you care for him? Yet you have made him but a little lower than God or heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." His love was so great that it overflowed into us. And the glory that was in Jesus before the world began, Jesus has given that to us. Look at verse 5 in that same chapter. It says, "And now, Father, glorify me along with yourself and restore me to such majesty and honor in your presence as I had with you before the world existed." Before the world existed. And that love and that glory he's now given us. Verse 22, we just read it. It says, I've given to them. Jesus has given to me. He has given to us the glory and honor which you have given me. The Father has given to Jesus that they, us, may be one even as we are one. Do you see that? We are just an extension of God's love for Jesus. And that's the eternal part of it. That's how we need to see. We are just an extension of God's love for Jesus that he was loving him with before the foundation of the earth. That's what he said in 23. "I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. You see, we talk about love all the time, and our natural minds, love means a lot of different things. But when you put it in that eternal sense of God loving Jesus before the foundation of the earth, before creation itself, before we were created, and then Him created, it says that we were created in their image, right? We are just simply an extension of that love, a reflection of that love to this world. And when you see yourself as that, when you see yourself as that, that's part of understanding your righteousness in Christ Jesus. When you see yourself as that extension of love, it can't help but change the things that you focus on and the way you interact with people. And it can't help but change that and redirect some of that. Amen? I believe we have a duty and obligation as an act of obedience even to love one another. To love one another so that the world will know that Jesus is real. John is called the apostle of love. And it's said of him in history books that everywhere he would go, he would encourage the believers and say, "It is enough that you love one another. It is enough that you love one another." John lived the longest of all the apostles. He had the most insight of all the apostles. He was one of the closest to Jesus during Jesus' time on earth. And he had time to reflect on all that had taken place over his lifetime. And that's why I believe the Holy Spirit wants us at this juncture to take up this Gospel of John and chew it. Meditate on it. Let it soak into you. Don't even try to go to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John until you have spent some time in the Gospel of John. And I just believe that He wants us to kind of stay there for a little bit. To really, really dig down into this Gospel of John. Dig down into the words of the Apostle of Love. And get a deeper understanding of what God's love for us really is. Amen? Do you think we could do that? I do. I believe that as we do this, as we come together as a body, and we are, this sounds new age, but channeling our attention in this Gospel and focusing our attention on the book of John, that there will be a unity created. And as that unity is created, I believe the world around us will take notice. And I believe it'll begin to change the atmosphere around us. Amen. Father, I thank You for the word that has gone forth this morning. Holy Spirit, I believe that You will seal this word to our hearts, not let us be distracted from it, not let the cares of this world come in and choke it out of us. We will not allow the enemy to steal it from our heart, But we will take the time to chew on it, to meditate on it, to fertilize it, if you will, so that it will spring forth and manifest fruit all around us. I pray that you are, by your Holy Spirit, moving in this place, we call it Christian Growth Center. Moving in this body of believers, that you are giving us revelation, knowledge, understanding, and insight into your love for us. The same love that you were loving Jesus with before the foundation of the earth, before creation itself. That same love, you are giving us insight and revelation of that love, and how we are just an extension of that love. We are to be an extension of your love in this earth. So Holy Spirit, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice, you minister to their heart this revelation. That you put a desire and an urgency in them to consume your word, starting right here in this book of John. Put a desire in them to want to know you more. Put a desire in us to want to understand our righteousness. Put a desire in us to want to grow and flourish and be that beacon of light wherever we go. Father, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading and guiding us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you're encouraged today. I believe that this is an important time that we are in, and it's an important time to understand and to emulate that love of God in the world. Listen, it's not over. It's not too late. No matter what you hear in the news, no matter what you read, no matter what you see, it is not too late. Don't give up. Don't give up. You be the one that God called you to be in this earth. You be that extension of His love in this world. And don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope for the ones that you've been standing in the gap for. Don't give up on them. God hasn't given up on them. Don't you give up on them. If God has laid, if the Holy Spirit has laid someone on your heart, don't give up on them. Don't give in. Don't release that hope that you have for them. Let that fire be stoked up again, that you want to see their lives changed. Don't give up. Don't quit. Pray for them. Believe for them. And watch and see.